This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Tracy Gregoire.
Hi, hi.
Just had a nice, pretty big wake-up call with Rocco.
Yeah, that was a good example.
It was a very good example. Very, very good.
A little shocking.
Yeah, I agree.
But, I should do that with my children.
And that's what it's all about, is educating everybody, you know? Yep. And that was like a great way to do it. I mean, right in front of you and, you know.
Here you go. I sprayed this with Raid. Now take a bite of that.
Yeah.
No.
No, but you do that all the time. So.
Right.
It was very interesting. You know, we do have a guest. We have a guest caller, and I was a little nervous about who I was going to introduce. I wasn't quite sure, but Bob put on here for me. Ken Sheldon, welcome, Ken.
Oh. Actually, it's Fred Maupel today.
Carol.
Ken was not available, but he asked me to step in.
Perfect.
They're just messing with you.
How are you, dear?
I know. I am very good. How are you?
It's lovely to talk to you again.
It is so lovely to talk to you, too. Yeah. And I want you to know, too, I love my Frost Heaves,
sign
that you send me.
Signed.
And it's even.
Everybody should have a little bit of Frost Heaves in their house or their studio, as the case may be.
I agree. I get compliments on it a lot.
Wonderful.
So,
wonderful.
Yes. Yes. So what is happening, Fred? How have you been?
And
I know we're going to talk about something that you have going on this weekend and next weekend on Saturday. But how have you been?
Oh, I've been good. It's been busy here in Frost Heaves. You know, it's fall. Folks cleaning up their gardens and getting rid of stuff. You know, we're overflowing with vegetables. We have folks around here. We call them the vegetable terrorists. You know, they sneak around at night, leaving spare vegetables on their neighbors' doorsteps, only where they can get rid of them, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Folks in Frost Heaves have taken to, when they have dinner parties, folks come in the house, they frisk them, make sure they're not trying to sneak vegetables into the house, you know.
Yes. So they're not responsible for letting them go bad at their house? Is that the reason?
That's right. Yes, because you're a Yankee, you know. And you plant extra just in case, but then you got more than you can do with. But you can't throw them out because you are a Yankee. So you give them to your neighbors,
true.
And then you let them throw them out. You know?
There you go.
Yes,
and then they're the bad guy, not you.
Right, yeah. And
that's genius. I'm going to try that.
It's mostly zucchinis. Well, my goodness. Bumper cropper. There must be something about the soil in New Hampshire that grows zucchinis, you know.
Like, huge.
And this is the thing is the zucchini, Carol. This is a... And Tracy, this is a vegetable that even its own mother wishes would leave home. I mean, you can dress up, as you ladies know, I'm sure, you can dress up zucchini, you know. You can make zucchini pickles, zucchini bread, zucchini, and you're still going to have a ton of zucchini left over afterwards, even after you've done all those things.
So true, true. Well, then people need to come to my house because I cannot keep enough in the pot. If I make a soup, kids walk by and grab it off the cutting board.
Excellent.
Eat it.
Actual zucchini.
Actual zucchini.
My goodness.
Just raw, right on the cutting board.
I know.
Did you hypnotize them or something?
I know.
Maybe a little bit. So maybe you guys can send your extra. You can vegetable terrorize my house with zucchini.
Well, you know what? Actually, a suggestion I had is we are starting a zucchini bank. You know how some towns have a wood bank? Well, we're having a zucchini bank for the needy. And in the wintertime, the poor and unfortunate who run out of zucchini, we'll be able to supply them. So that's one thing that's happening. Also, we just had the hay festival in town. Every year we have a hay festival because, you know, like some towns have a pumpkin festival or a strawberry festival, whatever. Mm-hmm. But we don't, all those we already took. So we had to come up with something we had a lot of. But the issue there is, of course, if you have a pumpkin festival, you can have pumpkin pie and pumpkin bread. If you have a strawberry festival, you can have strawberry shortcake, strawberry ice cream. But you know what? It turns out there aren't that many good recipes that call for hay. So that was the first problem.
Wondering how he was going to handle that.
That was the first problem we had, yes. But it was very exciting this year. We invited the U.S. Marine Band to come and perform, which is very exciting. They didn't come, but we were just we invited them, and we just decided thinking about it.
Oh, for those of you tuning in, we are talking with Fred Marple of Frost Heaves right here in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
You can also check him out on the web at frostheaves.com. And I enjoy talking to you so much.
Well, that's really sweet. That's you, that makes you and a couple of other people in town. It's the sum total.
I don't think so.
So some people might be listening and think, Frost Heaves, I've never heard of that town. How do I get there?
Well, the depends on where you're coming from. You know, if you're in the middle of the state, you get on the highway and you come south. Well, no, you can't go that way because the bridge is on. So what do you do? Head west, and then you go. Then you take the old county. No, Miller Tuttle had an accident with his manure truck, so you don't want to go that way. It's split. You know, you can't get there from here. Yeah, or from you there. You can't get here from there, I guess is the way I should say it. But you know what? Frosty's is not too far from any of the small towns in New Hampshire. You could, if you live in one of them small towns, you just go for a walk, and pretty soon you'll cross over into Frosty's before you know it.
I think I have a time or two.
Yes. Yes, I'm sure you have, dear.
So what is happening starting this weekend?
Well, we're having our big Frost Heaves variety show, which we do in Peterborough, at the Peterborough Players. And we do have folks come from the big city, you know, Manchester, to come to the show. And it's a full variety show. It's me plus people with actual talent. We have a band, and we do oldies, and it's sketch comedy, you know. It's Yankee humor. It's very family-friendly. Lots of folks bring the kids. And you know, we like this, we're going to have a special guest this time, actually, of a man named Lloyd Smoot. He's the president of Underachievers of America. He's going to be visiting us. Very exciting. We're excited to learn about that organization. And one of the bits we're going to do is we do Yankee fairy tales. These are fairy tales, but they're updated for Yankees. So we have Snow White and the Seven Yankees.
Oh.
We're going to be doing. And, of course, I always bring the news, the latest news from the town of Frost Heaves, and tell a story or two. And we're sponsored by Perfectly Good Appliances, perfectly good products. At every show, we have a perfectly good product. And these are items that are just a little bit past their shelf date, but they're still perfectly good.
Oh, my gosh.
And this time it's going to be perfectly good appliances. That this, you know, like the washing machine with the knob that doesn't quite work. But if you turn it past permanent press and then back to delicate and then twice around the dial back to regular, it'll work. You know, it's a washing machine you've had for quite a while. So that's coming up this weekend, the 9th and the 10th, and also the 17th. Hoping to get some of them leaf peepers that are descending upon us to come
this
to the show
true.
In Peterborough.
Yeah. Can they get tickets at the door?
They can get tickets at the door, or they can go to frostheaves.com online and order them right there and not miss out because, you know, we have sold out in the past. So, So we're pretty excited. It's a lot of fun. You girls should come sometime.
You know, it's exactly what
be
I was
be a fun
just
girls'
thinking.
Night out.
I think that it would. Although I think my boyfriend would want to go.
Oh, well, that's
I know
fine.
He'd want to see that.
You know, it's often we have the women have to drag the men the first time. And then once they, because what is this? But then once they come, they enjoy it quite a bit, actually, and want to come back the next time because it's a new show every time. It's different every time.
I think my boys would enjoy it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I do too. If nothing else, they like the music we do. We have a wonderful band and very talented guys with lots of years of experience. And fun for me, you know, I get to join them and we play them old rock and roll tunes. It's a lot of fun.
So, listeners, it is starts this weekend, the 9th, the 10th, the 9th and the 10th.
And then also,
and also the 17th.
Right.
7:30, and then on October 10th, on the Saturday, that's Sunday, sorry, 2 p.m. matinee.
On the 10th, the Saturday, yes.
Oh, Saturday. Okay.
Yep.
Perfect.
And, of course, all those dates are at frostheaves.com?
They are, yes.
All right.
Yes.
And before I let you go, let's just chat a little bit about your book.
Yes, dear.
Welcome to Frost Heave. So where can people find this book and what it's all about?
Oh, they can go to any bookstore. It's in most major bookstores. If not, you ask for them and they'll get it in. It's a collection of stories. You know, I've been telling stories for years. At every Frost Heave show, one of the things we do is I tell a short little story. And after years of doing this, I thought I could... It might be a way to if I collected all them stories together into a book, I could make a little extra money without doing any extra work. And that's what I'm all about.
Brilliant.
You know? Yes.
Brilliant.
So I sent it off to the folks at Island Port Press up in Maine. That's an actual legitimate publisher. And I don't know, somebody must have put something in their coffee that day because they accepted my manuscript and published the book. And it's been doing quite well.
Awesome.
And I've been going all over telling people about it, and you can get it at any bookstore or at amazonian.com or whatever it is. and it's quite fun, and as they say, it makes the perfect Christmas gift.
Yes.
Don't you love Christmas at this time of year? Everything is the perfect Christmas gift.
Right.
New tires for the car.
Or a new washing machine.
That's right, yeah. Boy, you know, the guy that gives his wife a washing machine for Christmas, that guy, he's got to have his head examined. Or
yes,
if he's got
very bad.
Especially if it's a perfectly good one.
Well, yeah, right. If you're a real Yankee, you might be able to get away with that, but you want to duck and cover afterwards, I think.
You know, does Fred Marples have a wife?
He does. Martha, the missus. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, she's a very patient and forgiving woman. Trust
me. She must be.
She absolutely is. But, you know, she doesn't mind my show business career because it gets me out of the house.
There you go. There you go. All right, good. Well, listeners, get on over to Peterborough Players Theater. You can get tickets at frostheaves.com. And it sounds like it's going to be a really fun time. And I'm gonna talk to Daryl when I get home later. And you may see me there.
That would be absolutely one. Be sure to say hi, Dia. We always like to hang out afterwards and say hi to friends that come. So
definitely,
if you can come. It's always a delight to talk to you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I appreciate you calling in today. And,
alrighty.
And it was fun. Thank you.
Alrighty. We'll see you down the road.
We're not talking to Ken today?
I don't think so.
You know, he's busy getting ready for the show.
Oh, there you go.
Okay.
He's getting ready for the show.
I was confused. I thought we had two guests today.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you,
Well,
Fred.
Ladies, we'll see you down the road.
All right. Have a good day.
Care.
Thanks so much. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
I love hearing from him.
He's awesome. And, you know, I do. When he's here, he's so funny because he gets like right into uniform or out of uniform, and then I can't look at him because I just laugh. It's and I'm picturing him sitting.
But when
you know?
He came in here, I had never met him before, and he came in like that in his costume, and I just assumed that that's what he looked like all the time. And then as we changed over to speak to Ken, the costume came off, and he looked like a totally different person.
He
really felt like there were two people in the studio.
So true, even his voice and everything.
Yep.
Just amazing. All right, we are going to go on a short break.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me is Tracy Gregoire.
Hi.
And we're at the Beacon Building, 814 Elm Street, right in our beautiful food-related studio.
I do love it here.
Butter still there from the very beginning. Everybody, it's so funny. Isn't it funny how everybody makes comment about that?
Well, for good reason.
They all
ask. It's really gross. There's two sticks of butter that kind of look like maybe they might have melted a little bit at some point. A little. But they're still wrapped up, I think.
They're not green yet.
I don't think... Butter must not turn green.
Yeah, maybe it doesn't, right?
Because it's been in here since, what, February?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's a long time.
But I get a kick out. Everybody asks if it's real. Where do you get fake butter?
I don't know.
Oh, well, and the kids
there you go.
Go to Toys R Us and they have the fake food. So I'm
wondering what's going through Carol Lawrence's mind when she's designing a studio and to make it look like a kitchen and says, oh, let's put a couple sticks of butter on the island, mm-hmm. because that won't go bad.
It's the studio. It's, you know, it looks like, come on in, Steve.
Yeah, it's interesting. At some point, it probably should go.
Okay, you know, we were talking about, oh boy, I'm so excited right now.
Yeah, I think Carol just got a present. Feeling a little left out here, Steve.
I know what that is. We're going to talk about that in one second. With the food holiday, I forgot to talk about, we had talked about it being British Egg Week.
Yes.
So there was just a few little trivia things on eggs, which I kind of thought were a little bit interesting.
Okay.
About two-thirds of the chicken eggs produced in the U.S. each year are sold in the shell. The other third are broken out of their shells so they can be made into liquid, frozen, dried, and specialty egg products. What do you think the average hen lays per year? Mm-hmm. Do you have any guess on that?
400.
That would be Steve. Steve Freeman, welcome.
Are we on air?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, we're on air. Of course we're on air. We're on air. Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America. 400. That's
Wake the Health Up, Steve.
Yeah, Wake the Health Up.
Sorry, I couldn't resist.
400 is high.
It's high. 400 so is 200, high. I'm going to go high.
266 is the average eggs per year that the hen lays. The record is 371 in 1 year.
That's a happy hen.
I suppose it probably is. But I didn't know this either. A chicken eggshell has about 17,000 tiny pores on the surface of the shell. Interesting.
Yes.
So it is actually a little porous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of interesting. All right. That's
about
it.
And if the chickens accidentally break an egg and eat it, they will start to protect the eggs more so they won't let you take them because they realize it's food. So the people in traditional farming, not the factories where they drop through a cage, they remove that opportunity. But most people who are raising chickens in their backyards now learn the hard way that once they find out it's food that they can eat, they would do that.
They would basically eat their young.
Cannibalize it.
Wow, I never knew that.
And you typically compost your eggshells and other chicken byproducts to give back to the chickens because the eggshell makes their shells strong. So my sister has raised chickens for 25 years, and she puts eggshells into their compost pile that they eat. It's their food pile, I guess we'd call it. But it's all table scraps, with the exception of animal meats are not in there. But all the vegetables, all the table scraps go into the chicken bucket, including eggshells.
And that's what the chickens eat.
Yep.
And that makes their eggshells stronger.
Yes.
So they're less likely to break.
So they're less likely
to eat them.
Correct. In one summer, this doesn't have anything to do with chickens.
That's okay.
But she lives on an island where they lobster, and a farmer has a lot of pigs, and he was getting a lot of lobster shells. When he went to slaughter his pigs, he had to get rid of the meat because the pork tasted like lobster, which wasn't a good combination because the pigs had a high diet high in lobster shells.
Lobster shells.
Yeah. So you are what you eat, including the animals we eat are what they eat.
Raid. Well, sorry, did you miss that segment, Steve?
I did.
We didn't hear. We were given a very poignant example of eating a peach with Rocco a little while ago.
Yeah.
He handed Carol one and said, "This is organic. Take a bite." She did. Then he handed her another one and said, "Now take a bite of that one. I sprayed it with Raid before I got here, but I washed it off, so it's okay."
And
she did not take a bite.
Yeah.
And then he said, basically that's worse than what they put into our food and what the animals eat and all that. It's worse than Raid.
That's awesome.
But then he said he was just joking. He didn't really spray it. So I ate it.
I have this thing I want to do next time I get on Channel 9. It's a little touchy, so I haven't broached the subject with them. But kale is incredibly strong in fibers. You could literally use it to wash your car. It won't break apart, which means it's really good for you. It's a really fibrous plant. It's good for you for cleaning you out and giving you nutrients. Well, what I want to do on camera, because radio just doesn't give the visual, is while I'm on camera making a kale salad or sautéed kale or whatever, take some Windex or glass cleaner, spray the refrigerator that's on the studio in Channel 9, wipe it down with the kale, show how strong the kale is that it'll stay intact. I've done this at home. and then say, now, would you eat this kale? And of course, the whichever the host is for the day would say, absolutely not. And I said, guess what, sweetheart? You're eating 27 times worse than that if you buy conventional. You just don't see it, so you don't think about it.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
What a visual.
Hats off to Ro. And it's absolutely true. You'd be safer eating the Windex, the glass cleaner I just used on the kale, than the kale you buy in the store, unless it's organic or local.
See, having a visual like that, mm-hmm. I think, is what people, you know, need to see to even just begin to start to understand mm-hmm. it. You know, that's what we're talking about. It's educating everybody, and, you know.
It is, and I was reading this weekend about Michael Pollan, who wrote The Omnivore's Dilemma, which is a great eye-opening, sort of the catalyst for the part of the food movement we're in now with local, less animal products. If everyone was forced to watch, say, that a chicken or bacon or piece of steak go from birth to processing, we would all be a vegan planet. Because mm-hmm. most people have some emotions inside of them mm-hmm. that to actually watch it and go through it. I know I couldn't. I've toured these places. I watched turkeys get killed last year for Thanksgiving. I had a ham because I didn't see the hams get processed. It's when you see, you know, these things with eyes and lungs and movement turn into a walking animal, into what you see on the shelf, it's like, wow, you don't really mm-hmm. think about that. And that's why the processors work very hard to keep us out of there, because sales would drop. And the good news is that the sales, I think it's good news, produce is up and animal protein is down ever so slightly, but there's progress in that respect.
So you would be interested in this article that I printed out and spoke about earlier. We talk about making meat and dairy yeah. things out of plants.
I've heard about this stuff. They're starting to make everything in laboratories.
Right. It sounds like, in theory, it sounds like, oh, let's use plants and you know, it'll be less waste, less having to feed the animals, less all the, you know, tragedy that, you know, we see around a lot of animal, you know, being killed and the way they do it. And it sounds like it's really good in theory, but then when you delve down deep into it, it's genetic, yeah. modifying genetic things is really scary.
It is. And the 3D printers, they're starting to do this stuff. I mean, I'd be all right with it if it was...
What, food?
Yeah.
With 3D printers.
They've started to make food with 3D printers.
Are you kidding?
Nope, it's happening. I mean, it's in testing stages right wow. now, but they're looking, you know, pretty soon you'll be delivered a 3D printed orange in a car that has no driver. And a drone will deliver it to your doorstep from the car. Yeah, this world is moving pretty quickly. You know, I always go back to the same adage, just buy local, support local as much as you can. Mm-hmm. You don't go to... I came up with a great one this weekend about another product that you just don't go out of your area to get this product. I forget what it was. Hopefully it comes back to me. But, you know, my dentist is in my zip code. My car mechanic's in my zip code. My barber or stylist is in my zip code. My mani-pedi salon is in my zip code. You know, I'm not going to, Arizona to get my nails done. Why do we go all over the world to get our food when the healthiest food on the planet is from your zip code?
Mm-hmm.
And as we head into flu season, there's a lot of press out there about get a flu shot to avoid spreading or catching it yourself. And I've told everyone for years, eat more lemons, eat more cinnamon, and eat local honey every single day. And eat local honey. Make sure it's like from your zip code, as close to home as possible, because it is the healthiest food on the planet to build up your immunity.
I have never heard that, as far as like eating local things like that, because that's what has to do with fighting the things that are local around you. Because I am, we won't get into this, but I am completely opposed to flu shots.
Always
have been, and I feel like I'm the minority. I don't let my kids get it when they tried to force me when they were little. I did one year, I gave in when they were babies, and I said, never again, I'm not doing it. I still believe to this day that is why my grandmother, who was extremely healthy, is now dead. And there's no way to fight. I'm going off of it, but it's about that, not knowing what strain it's going to be and everything. So that's what those local things have to do, is because it fights off what's kind of local around you. So tell me those things again. Lemon, honey,
cinnamon. Really good as we head into, you can't really get local lemons or local cinnamon. Cinnamon is actually grows in very few spots.
But the
in
local
the world.
Honey is the
But local
part.
Honey is the healthiest food on the planet for you. And wherever you are, if you're listening online and you live in, you know, Russia, get honey from your backyard. Don't get the fancy stuff from Australia or London. You want to get honey from your backyard because bees pollinate, you know, two-thirds of the food we consume. Without them, it's going to be a very scary planet. But they're wonderful producers of a very healthy product. And another thing, it's some people don't like to hear it, but honey is the only food that's already pre-digested. It's already passed through the bee system, so it's very easy and soluble for our system.
Uh-huh. I never knew.
When you think about it, that's where honey comes from. They've already produced it, so it's already been through some filtration. But the pollen, and this is what keeps you healthy, is, you know, what is in your backyard is where you find immunity and strength. Just like I was saying last week about how organic plants are fighting for their survival. They're building themselves a stronger skeleton, if you will, inside of each of their plants. When you chemically treat a plant, the plant's kind of on vacation for a week. Pick me when you're ready and I'll do my best. Where an organic plant has fought for its survival, it's, you know, worked hard to absorb the sunshine, the chlorophyll, and the nutrients from the soil. That's what we're eating. That's why organic food is better for you in local food, is because it's fought the fight to survive. It hasn't been chemically polluted to sort of exist in a protective state. And everything those plants go through go into our system, which is makes us stronger and healthier.
That combined with the lack of the chemicals as well.
Yeah, right. Yeah, not only the lack of chemicals for just digesting them, but the lack of chemicals that trigger the plants to sort of just sit back and suntan. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about anything else. The chemicals will take care of it. And that's, I mean, that's scientifically proven. It's happening.
So we can make like a little drink every day with lemons, honey, and cinnamon.
Yep.
Every day.
And if you can stomach it.
It's like a tea or something.
Yes. Put some vinegar in it if you can, too. Vinegar is a really good immune. I think apple cider vinegar.
Yeah.
I took a picture of this.
I actually heard cayenne as well.
Cayenne's good for you. It's a capsicum type of pepper, and it boosts your metabolism, so it helps. All of us want to burn more calories, right? So more peppers do that, and hot, spicy foods do that. Here's a recipe right here. If you wake up with a sore throat, mix water, 2 tablespoons of local raw honey, 2 tablespoons of vinegar, dash of cinnamon, and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. Mix well and drink. You'll feel better within an hour.
Wow.
You know, I've actually done that before.
My son used to do that every single day when he was vegan. He did that every day.
Lemons are, talking more about lemons and organic, lemons is one of the, it's on the environmental working group, which you've printed out something for me here. It's on their dirty dozen list, but lemons in particular, when lemons are treated with chemicals, there's, you know how your bodies have a neutral pH or a natural pH level? I think it's like 4.6 to 7.2 or whatever it is. Or conventional lemons turn acidic, which messes with your pH. And if your body lives in its lifetime in that natural pH, normal pH state, you will never develop cancer. Cancer cannot grow when your body is in a neutral pH state. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to maintain that diet. You have to do a lot of reading, which I haven't mastered yet. Organic lemons maintain the proper pH level. So there's reason just to make one switch in your diet, add more lemons to it, and add organic lemons, because organic lemons are truly way more healthy than any conventional lemon.
So don't buy the little plastic lemon that's filled with lemon juice.
No, because that has GMOs in it. That has some form of GMO corn in it, a citric acid or sodium dichlorohexamethacin or heroin or something. But all those lemons, even I hate to say it, even the 100% organic lemon in a bottle has something in it to stabilize it and make it shelf stable. So yeah, get a $2 lemon reamer. I have like 6 different ways to juice lemons at home. And when you live a healthy lemon organic diet, I haven't had a cold in 5 or 6 years. And so the other thing in the winter, this is a key, and people are like, how do you get this in your diet every day? I actually do it at night because it doesn't matter as long as it's daily. I take a bunch of organic cinnamon, put it in a little special bowl that I'm not sharing with people, if you will, so I still have cinnamon to use at the table. take a spoonful of raw honey, which is thick. It's not like cough syrup. It's thick, so it sticks on your spoon like pudding. Wallop it all over the cinnamon. Put it in your mouth and eat it. And, I mean, just try and skim the cinnamon off. And you get the cinnamon. Then you do it again, more cinnamon. Do it again, more cinnamon. And as you get less and less honey on your spoon, the cinnamon gets more intense and hotter. And you figure out your natural level that you can consume cinnamon. So I get a good couple of tablespoons of cinnamon every night just by licking the spoon. And the last bit is the strongest because there's very little honey. And I'm sure you've heard those cinnamon chronicles with these kids in high school take a spoonful of cinnamon and die.
Yeah.
Well, you don't want to do that. But it's actually a pretty awesome effect because as you're eating the cinnamon, you can feel it open you up. And you can feel, personally, I can breathe better. And I'm like, this is awesome. And it's like a nice hot pepper
burn. And you do this every night?
Every night. As we head into winter, so I'm starting to do this again now. You know, my eating changed this weekend. I was up in the White Mountains this weekend, and the cold sort of set in, especially when it's 39 degrees at night. You know, so last night I had a fire in the fireplace. I'm like, I'm switching to, my body is saying it's time to switch to fall eating. I didn't want to eat fresh peaches anymore, even though I still have some on my counter. I'm like, it's wintertime eating now. And that's a reaction to your body, listening to your body, knowing what your body's asking for. So, yeah, cinnamon, lemon, honey.
He, like, just jumped right in on this.
I know.
Is this even what you had prepared for today?
No. I don't know what I had prepared.
That worked out really good.
Seriously, anything to wake the health up. I mean, you, the listener, have the power to make your life healthy. Don't wait for a pill. Don't wait for your doctor to tell you. Some of us have to, unfortunately, find out through our doctor. But if you start paying attention, and it's not an overnight sensation, It's a lifetime commitment, much like a marriage, except far more enjoyable. But you have to be willing to make that change to improve your personal health and give yourself, you know, it took me quite a few years to put these pounds on. I don't expect to be trim in 6 months. Give myself a couple of years, make the transition. And once you make that transition, you know, I used to think Snickers really satisfies. I can't get through two bites of it now because it tastes like chemical to me. And I'm not downing people who live on them. It's to each his own. But once you start eating what real food tastes like, so much food around us, it's just like, I just can't eat that anymore. I'd rather starve. I'd rather go without.
Yeah,
and
I'm starting
a class in November on how to maintain the proper nutrition in your life to balance the stress, because stress affects all our diets.
Now, where are you going to be doing that class?
Taking it at the Executive, a 13-week program that Catholic Medical Center was a sponsor of, and I've talked to a few successful not patients, but students, if you will, that shed a lot of weight and really learn how to focus on when to eat. Like, I typically don't eat when I wake up. I'm not hungry. But you it's very important that you drink, like, a cup of water with lemons in it and feed your system right away, because it tells your body, okay, it's time to wake up. It starts producing the enzymes to get us through the day.
And I've heard warm water. Have you heard that before?
I've been drinking room temperature water for years, cold water, sort of only when I'm at the gym, because your body does better with room temperature water than cold. And also, just from a beer connoisseur, most beer we drink is too cold.
Right.
It squelches the flavor, quells the flavor, whatever the word is. And there's, you want to talk about beer, there's only like 16 beers on my okay to drink list, because that's something that you don't know you don't know what's in any alcohol you drink. There's not an alcohol in this country that tells you what it is.
That's true.
Because our government said, we don't want them to know. We just want them to drink it. They fought long and hard not to, you know, caramel color, preservatives, all these things that you wouldn't know are in beer.
It's true.
Or wine.
Or wine, too. Or wine. There's nothing.
I mean,
yeah.
Wow. You are listening to Food for Thought. We are in studio with Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America. We're going to go on a short break, and I'm going to open up my stuff from the Manchester Food Co-op right now. I can't wait to see. I can't wait to see what I ordered. We'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back. Food for Thought with Carol. Joining me is Tracy Gregoire, and it is we have Steve Freeman, Wake the Health Up America, in studio with us today, and he brought my welcome packet because I am one of the owners of the up-and-coming brand-new Manchester Food Co-op, And Steve, why don't you, let's talk about what is in my welcome packet and how people can join or become an owner of the Manchester Food Co-op.
So you can always join at manchesterfood.coop. Join us now. There's a little tab on the webpage. We have brochures all over the city and different locally owned establishments here in Manchester and some on the outskirts. But our website's definitely the place, manchesterfood.coop. So when you signed up, you became an owner. You are a member, but you're more importantly, you're an owner. We all own, all 1,064 of us are owners collectively. So we all share sort of the startup cost, the startup investment. And that $100, it's $100. It's a one-time purchase. You're buying a stock share of the business. And the goal is when we're profitable, we offer the profit to be equally divided between all member owners. And 9 out of 10 member owners say, now that the store is here, I want to do everything I can to keep it here. I don't want my dividend, put it back in the store. I was actually at Littleton Food Co-op this weekend, and they're in their patronage dividend, which is what it's called. And one of the owners came in. I mean, the guy is like 92 years old. And he said, I came to give you my dividend. I don't want it. I want it to stay in the store.
Nice.
And that's the spirit of the co-op, which is really like no other business out mm-hmm. there. It's really wonderful to see it in operation. By the way, hats off to the Littleton Food Co-op. They've been open 5 or 6 years. They're putting on a massive addition. That store was so beautiful. I ate all local from Littleton area, which is very close to Vermont. So all weekend I was in heaven eating all local food from that area where I spent the weekend. So back to your welcome kit. You were nice enough to buy our logo, which is a felted pea ornament. So the material for that ornament, which is felt and a rope and the little cigar cleaner sort of thing that makes the tendrils, that's all made in America. I don't know the exact sources, but it was made in America. But the woman who makes it lives in Peterborough, New Hampshire. So that's, I mean, as local
so
as we
cute.
Can get.
Yeah.
So when you bought that ornament for $5.55, you know, 80% of that went to that woman's sort of home-owned business.
Mm-hmm.
The rest, the small amount of profit went into the co-op to help us raise our income. The T-shirts are made from 50% recycled American water bottles, and the other 50% is recycled organic sourced cotton. So it was grown organically, came into a second life as a T-shirt. Then the ink used on it is vegetable based, which is a better carbon footprint, environmental impact sort of thing. And they were screen printed in, I forget the town, but it's next to Portsmouth. So, and I have to tell you, it took a long time to find a T-shirt that was made on American soil.
Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
It's really sad when you think about that. It really is. You know, when you say it, it's...
Yeah.
It was, I kept getting, well, this is recycled. It's, you know, I'm like, it has to be born, at least in our country, maybe in North America. If Canada, I'd be happy with.
And, you know, it's very soft, too.
It looks like.
How
does plastic get so soft? I don't understand that. I can't fathom that.
That's plastic.
Really?
Yeah. There's this great article in National Geographic. This totally opened my eyes to plastic, where this suburban couple with three kids did this thing where they emptied their house of oil-based products. And you would not believe how much oil is in our lives. The every shopping bag that's plastic is 100% oil. All those plastic kits for your women's makeup kits, that's oil-based. Anything that's plastic is derived of oil. Nylon has oil in it. Polyester is 100%
oil. Do they have anything left in their house?
All the kids' toys, the Fisher-Price toys, those colorful things, all oil-based. So oil's not just for fuel. Wow.
I know.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
That went so fast.
It's hard to
remove
oil.
We were having
fun. Yeah.
That is crazy. Wow. We always learn something when Steve's in the house. Thank you for bringing my welcome packet, Manchester Food Co-op.
Thank you.
I encourage all listeners out there to own a piece of the up-and-coming Manchester Food Co-op. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Tracy.
Thank you.
We're at the end of the show. Up next is Kale & Company. We'll see everybody tomorrow. Bye.